You are listening to the epic fantasy novel Lion's Last Kill. And this is Chapter 18, The Guide. If you need to listen to this novel from the beginning, you want to get to Chapter 1 and all the other chapters, you can get them for free on my website at www.stormthecastle.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you enjoy. He was looking at the inside of a small cabin, something that you would find deep in the woods somewhere. It was a single room with a fireplace, a table, a bed, and a few other necessities. There was someone standing over a stove at the far end. It was a woman, and by the way she was stooped over, she appeared to be very old. He stepped into the room and looked around. The cottage was no more than 15 feet square. There was a small fireplace with a fire burning in it. There was a table and a bed, and everywhere there were herbs and plants hanging to dry from the walls and from strings. The old lady was stirring a pot over the stove. Her back was to him. He shut the door. "Hello?" He waited for her to respond, but she didn't. She just continued to stir the pot that she was working on. He glanced around the room again to make sure there wasn't somebody else there that he could talk to. The smell of the herbs had a soothing effect on Bosch, and he relaxed and took a slower look around the room. The old woman seemed to live modestly, and much of the little cottage was cluttered with a variety of things. Animal furs were stretched on some of the walls, and shelves were lined with books and papers. The little table in the center held a single plate, a single spoon, and a single candle. She was cooking over an iron stove, and the smell of what she was cooking mingled with the variety of herbs that hung around the room. He could see glimmers of orange flame around the edge of the small door on the stove. This was where she must put the wood in. The fireplace, burning bright with logs, was currently the only source of lighting in the little shack, and it cast a warm orange glow and red tones on everything. He turned his attention back to her, but he didn't step any closer. "Where am I?" At this question, she stopped the stirring of her pot, and without turning around, she answered him.
"You are inside your own mind. Where else could the other one appear?"
By the other one, he guessed that she was referring to Babbage. This response was strange. It was perfect English, but her voice was peculiar. It didn't have the tone of a normal voice.
"Why am I here?"
"Because the answer to your request is here."
He gave this some thought, and it disheartened him. The answer to his quest was here in his own mind? He had tried and tried to find this answer, and thought for sure that he did not know it. He didn't have time to pursue this train of thought. And as if she had understood everything he thought, she interrupted him.
No. That's not the way of it. It is not something you can know. It is something that has not been available to you. You cannot find the answer without help. And the other one is not help enough.
His strange voice rang into him, but she still didn't turn her back. She just continued stirring her pot. The way she referred to Babbage as the other man made him uneasy. It was almost as if she recognized Babbage as being a living and breathing human being. But Babbage wasn't real. He was just a trick of Bosch's peculiar mind. But telling him that the knowledge he sought was something not possible for him to find made him feel a little better. It gave him the feeling that he wasn't a failure. It would have been very disheartening to him to learn that he wasn't thorough enough in his attempt to find the answer on his own. If it had been possible to finish the machine without coming to the Oracle, he would have much preferred it. "So if the answer is here in my own mind, where exactly is it?"
I will give it to you.
Sit at the table.
He sat at the table and stared at the bowl and spoon. The old woman came over and scooped up his bowl, and bringing it over to the stove, she ladled something into it, then placed it back down in front of him. She sat down at the chair across the table from him, and for the first time he looked at her face. It was old and wrinkled, much like any other old face. There was one peculiarity. She had two mouths. He stared in fascination at the two mouths. This is probably why her voice sounded strange. If both mouths talked at the same time, and they had different tones, the two would blend together in some sort of strange harmony. She pointed at his bowl.
Eat, and I will tell you what you seek.
He picked up the wooden spoon and dipped it into the bowl. He glanced at it as he brought it up to his lips, but he didn't see anything in particular. It just looked like a thick stew. He swallowed one mouthful, and his ears started to ring. The old woman just smiled at him with both her mouths. The stew first affected his hearing. He became acutely aware of all the little sounds in the room, the sounds that he hadn't noticed before. The fires in the stove and the fireplace were crackling. He hadn't noticed that before, but now he heard each crackle as an individual thing. The heat circulating around the room was causing soft currents of sounds, and now he heard the various herbs hanging around the room as they gently moved in the soft currents of heat. His hearing stretched out to the corridor and the maze beyond it. Then his hearing reached inside himself, and he heard blood flowing through his veins. He heard his organs working, and above all these sounds, he heard his heart pumping. The old woman started speaking strange words from one of her mouths. She was whispering these words as if she knew his hearing had changed, and she didn't want to frighten him. The words came out of her mouth in a sing-song of syllables and utterances that he couldn't understand. Then the second mouth started to talk, and it was saying things that were totally different from the first. It was as if the two mouths were in competition with each other. He just stared at her and watched the two mouths. With his heightened sense of hearing, he could do nothing else. He was entranced. The mouths continued to talk, and he continued to listen. And his ability to understand started to grow. And slowly, the two voices started to come together. It was like two symphony orchestras trying to get into tune with each other. There was one at each of his ears, and they were meeting in the middle of his head, looking for a common theme. The two voices found notes and words in common, and they grew closer together. It reminded Basha of the Threadbender. The two voices were like two threads, and they were coming together. The whole scene worked itself into a crescendo as the voices found more and more common ground. The two voices searched up and down and across the spectrum of hearing until they found the one word that would bring understanding. The one word that unlocked the secret to the forgotten language. They found it, and without hesitation, the two voices said the word together, and with that, they brought the answer to Basha. The answer to the question he had been searching for. He closed his eyes to listen to the beauty of it, and when he opened his eyes back up, he was kneeling in front of the oracle. How long had he been gone? When he was in the maze, it felt like years had passed, but now that he was back, everyone was still standing exactly as it had been when he left. It appeared that he had gone for no more than an instant. He looked inside himself and realized he was thinking a different language now. It wasn't a new language. It was a language that was as old as time. It was the language of the creation, and it was always inside him. He just didn't know it was there. This was the language of the crickets and the sparrows. It was the language of the sky and the earth. It was the language of the everything and the everywhere. It had been long forgotten, but now it was remembered. With this language, he could think love and truth in ways he never conceived of before. Like a key unlocking a mystery, all it took was one word, and the forgotten language that was laying dormant inside him was brought to life. It was one single forgotten word, and it unlocked the language inside him. With this word idea, he stepped through a threshold and became a new person. He was changed. Something inside his soul opened up, and he remembered the language that had long forgotten. It was the language of life, and with it he could speak the talk of the creation. Everything looked and felt different to him now. He could do it now. It would be so easy to complete the machine, and the machine would tell the word of unlocking to the rest of the world. An enormous joy overwhelmed him, and he wept. Oh, the beauty of it all, he thought to himself. The meeting with the oracle was done. She had spoken to them all, and she closed her eyes and bowed her head back down as if to rest for another millennium. The four men looked at each other. They had all been profoundly changed, and Bosch would be very interested to see what was revealed to the other men. Once they got far enough down the mountain, and they all had time to contemplate what they learned, there would be some wonderful conversations. But the most wonderful thing of all was that Bosch would speak a word to them, and they too would be opened up to the new language and the love and the understanding that it brought. This is the end of Chapter 18 of Lion's Last Kill. I want to thank you for listening, and stay tuned next week for Chapter 19. And I just wanted to give you a little commentary. I've completed the print version of this book, Lion's Last Kill, and I've sent it off to the publisher, and we should get final approval for it pretty soon. So if you want to buy the print version, hang in there and stay tuned, and I will let you know when it's available for sale. You'll be able to buy it either on our website or on Amazon.com, Borders.com, BarnesandNoble.com. Once again, thanks for listening, and check out one of my websites, StormTheCastle.com, CastleFiction.com, or EpicFantasy.com. And there's a dash between epic and fantasy, so that's epic-fantasy.com. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.